Blog Talk Radio.
I probably Ginger is frowning at me now.
Good morning. What was that?
That is a group called The Key of Awesome, and that's their parody of Angry Birds. Adele's Rolling in the Deep with Angry Birds. I love that song. Hilarious.
That is crazy.
You got to see the video.
I will have to Google that in a little bit to see it, because
it's on YouTube. Yeah. Look for Key of Awesome. They also show you how they made the video. It is really hilarious.
Ooh, there are some fights going down today, woman.
Ooh, girl. Mitt Romney. Is Mitt Romney one of yours? Because he's the top of my list this morning. Oh, my God.
To do with gaming? No.
Well, it has to do with tech stuff. It's juicy. It's juicy.
Now, I did read where it was being questioned whether or not he was legal to run as president. But that was his father, apparently, that wasn't.
Interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. That's a whole ordeal. So it looks like Blizzard might be in a little bit of trouble.
Set it off, Ginger. Set it off.
I'm going to set it off. South Korea investigating Blizzard over Diablo 3 refunds. Blizzard.
Oh.
Yeah. Blizzard Seoul Division is under... Anyways, Division is under the eye of the South Korean government, who has decided to launch an investigation into whether the company violated the country's electronic commerce law when it launched Diablo 3. The investigation hopes to determine if Blizzard knowingly launched Diablo 3 and made it an online game while not providing the necessary servers and networks needed to handle the demand. But that's not really what the investigation is about. When South Korea demanded a refund for the trouble they encountered at launch, Blizzard did not comply. While Blizzard's policy is that it does not give refunds for a game already in use, South Korean law says that companies must give a refund within 7 days of the sale of a game if a customer asks for it, and if the customer is not at fault for whatever the problem is. Some did ask for it and did not get it.
Uh-oh.
While Blizzard announced last week that it had set up additional servers in Asia to deal with connection issues, this did not stop the South Korean government from launching an investigation. Around 10% of Blizzard's Diablo 3 sales come from South Korea. Wow. See, this is what you get. A lot of you games are trying to go with the minimal amount of servers.
Mm-hmm.
And especially when you're expecting a huge launch. And then you have these issues. I mean, you knew this was going to happen. You were already warning people before the game even went live. You were warning people. So this is your own fault. So, you know what? I hope South Korea sticks it to you.
Oh. You got served.
Yeah.
I'm sorry, I'm all in a 90s mode or something today, or 80s or 70s, whenever it was. Oh, my God. Well, that's what you said really makes it bad, because, yeah, they did know. And they should have said something, or just pull the game back. I would rather you do that. That's what I like. Yeah, I'd much rather you pull it back and make people wait so that you can give them a good game.
Yeah.
Well, this is one of the reasons why we say, if you're a politician in today's world, you probably need to take a class on the internet and your gadgets. Our current president is very much up with the times. That's how he made his money, Facebook and, you know, Twitter. That's smart. He knows how to use his BlackBerry. He knows what it is, how to turn it on and off. But apparently the would-be president, or would like to be president, Mitt Romney, is suffering from a little, technological epic fail this morning.
Oh, yeah?
apparently neither he nor his iPhone can spell. It is Amercia the Beautiful, not America the Beautiful. okay, this is part of the promotion for Mitt Romney's 2012 presidential campaign, and if you've seen some of the ads, it does have a better Amercia. This is not the first time this has happened for him. He's had several campaign posters, notices, flyers, and things that have had misspellings of several words. This is Mitt Romney. His iPhone is new to him, and a new company called released something called With Mitt that allows supporters or his supporters to snap photos with patriotic slogans, and you can share your photos with family and friends and others who would otherwise ignore politics altogether. One of these overlays contains the phrase "A Better Amercia."
Not America.
Yeah, it's an obvious misspelling of the country's name. Of course, you know us geeks. The era of this scale has set the internet on fire with a fresh breed of new memes, as well as a lot of ridicule and delight from users on Twitter and Facebook. Already, someone has set up a Tumblr blog dedicated to creative uses of the overlay photo feature, according to VentureBeat. You should see all of them. One of them is, what's his name from The Simpsons? Ralph? Remember, did you ever watch The Simpsons, Ralph? Ralph is the mentally challenged one that was in love with Lisa that time.
Oh, my God. Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. Took me a second to figure out what you were talking about. But, yeah. Okay.
Yeah.
Simpsons is not really my show.
Yeah, I love The Simpsons. But there's a picture of Ralph. He's standing in front of an American flag. And, of course, the words, "A Better Amercia" is over him. And then it says,
oh, wow.
I'm with Mitt, MittRomney.com. Mitt.
Oh, no.
If you're going to be the president, you're going to have to... Oh, God, this is really bad. Slow children.
You're going to learn how to spell. Get a better spell checker or something.
Well, they have little assistants and things that usually take care of these things for them. But spell check, I like watching Bill Maher on the weekend. I don't know why. I think he's hilarious, so I love watching him. But he was saying this very same thing. Spell check will not spell check a word that's actually right. Okay? If the word is spelled properly, it won't catch it. So if you meant to say there and you typed in T-H-E-I-R, which is one of our memes, or T-H-I-E-R, however, I have to be typing it to spell it properly myself, but and you meant T-H-E-R-E, technically it's spelled right. So the spell check is not going to stop it. Of course, when it goes out, it makes you look stupid. So you still have to proofread. You still need proofreaders and editors. That's why they exist still, even with spell check in place, because it doesn't catch those things. The programs are not smart enough to understand that this is a grammatical error. Okay?
Yeah.
But Amercia, I think that might be a Spanish word, is why it didn't catch it. It is a word, I believe. Somebody correct us if we're wrong. So,
I'm trying to think. It does sound familiar, but I don't know where from.
Yeah, so I believe it's a word in some other language. But so that's why it did not catch it. That's why this morning you're going to have to live this down. And you want the young voters. You got a whole new crop of people turning 18 just this year that are going to go out and vote. And if you can't spell the country that you're running to rule, not a good thing.
Exactly, yeah.
What you got, Ginger?
I have got more how awesome games are, yes. Video games help... Can't talk. Video game helps physicians identify prescription drug abuse. This is kind of neat. I'm pulling this from GamePolitics.com this morning, and I love reading how games can actually help. For many physicians, prescribing painkillers can be a dicey prospect. The desire to help people in pain can sometimes conflict with the possibility that the patient may be abusing his or her prescription drugs. So it can help healthcare professionals distinguish between patients who have a legitimate need for pain medication and those out to abuse it. Based on Dr. Michael Fleming's research at Northwestern University Feinberg School of Medicine, a new web-based video game seeks to teach primary care and family physicians how to interact with patients seeking prescription pain medication. The game, which incorporates FBI's interrogation tactics, guides players through a mock patient interview and scores them on how well they did. Physicians can draw from a database of 1,500 questions and responses taken from real interviews Dr. Fleming conducted with more than 1,000 patients receiving opiates for pain, With these interactions, users can inquire if the patient's family has a history of drug problems, ask if the patient will submit to a drug screening, and observe nonverbal signs of nervousness such as breaking eye contact, fidgeting, and finger tapping. The game was developed by former Johns Hopkins University Professor of Engineering Del E. Olson and was financed by a $1 million grant from the Small Business Administration and the National Institute on Drug Abuse. All right, so this is kind of awesome. It says the game would cost about $50 an hour. I don't know what to think about that. And users would typically pay 10 sessions out of 15 to 20 minutes each. Sorry, of 15 to 10, 20 minutes each. If it helps, that's awesome. I'm not sure about how a video game is going to help doctors find out whether or not somebody is actually abusing painkillers. But if it works, if there's something to it, hey, great. But I'm a little skeptical on this.
I'm just talking in this game. I think that how they're doing this is, remember a couple of months ago we reported on the autism thing?
Mm-hmm.
And they were saying they were using the games to track the rapid eye movement of the kids with autism. I think maybe that's how it works, but I'm not sure.
Yeah.
So maybe possibly that's how they will get it.
Maybe, yeah.
Get it in. That's a very slippery slope, though. You're right, because some people may just act that way naturally.
Exactly.
And that doesn't mean they're abusing anything. They do.
I mean, 'cause I know I get anywhere near a doctor and I start stuttering and like get nervous and my blood pressure goes like, woo.
Aww.
I don't like doctors.
Jinju.
I know.
Why? Jinju, it's all why.
Like, if I get in there and you give me like the first 10 minutes just to sit in the room and calm down, I'm all right. But yeah, I don't like doctors. I don't like them at all.
See what y'all did to my Jinju. See?
I know, right?
There is such tons of news. But before I jump into some other news, we just got in, wow, up early in the morning. Tim Cook, who's the new CEO of Apple, hey, he said he does not want to be in the console business. He's not interested in it. I got to clap him on the back for that one. Finally, somebody's stopped trying to step their toe in our pond.
Good.
He is sent a very typically ambiguous message about his company's future involvement in the games market to attendees at the U.S. D10 conference, announcing that although there are no plans to enter the traditional console market, gaming will become increasingly important. He opened D10, which is an annual conference run by All Things Digital, or All Things D, if that sounds more familiar to you. He asked by a journalist whether Apple is looking at creating specific gaming hardware or whether he saw big screen gaming as something that they'll get more into. Cook seemed to put to bed the rumors that the corporate giant was looking at becoming a fourth wheel for the console business. He says, I view that we are in gaming now in a fairly big way. One of the reasons people buy an iPod Touch is gaming. Some buy it for music. Uh-oh, I think we lost our Jinju. Yeah, we looks like we lost our Jinju. Uh-oh.
I'm here, I think.
Uh-oh, she be back. All right. She says, I realize it's not the big screen you're talking about. Gaming has kind of evolved a bit. More people play on portable devices. Where we go in the future, we'll see. The customers do love games, but I am not interested in being in the console business and what is thought of as a traditional gaming. He said, but Apple is a big player today, and things in the future will only make that bigger. We're impressed on whether that meant that the much-vaunted Apple TV might be the device to nurture that growth. Cook was, again, noncommittal. He says, I think it would be interesting. Tim, stop stealing my lines.
I think it would be interesting.
He says he thinks it'd be interesting. I got to say, I'm happy that they're not going to try to make a console, although they may change their minds after they see what Nintendo does with their pad. I can't wait to see what happens with that.
Mm-hmm. All right, you were just mentioning Trip Hawkins, right? Because
just yesterday. I was talking about Tim Cook, but yesterday I did mention Trip Hawkins. What's he doing again today?
Did we talk about that he stepped down?
Yes, we did.
Okay, never mind then. I won't read this one.
Is he causing problems?
He stepped down as CEO at EA.
Oh, no, well, no, he left EA a long time ago. Wait a minute, we're talking about two different people.
Okay, all right, well, then let me open this back up.
Yes, good do.
GamePolitics.com this morning, Trip Hawkins steps down as digital chocolate CEO.
Oh, no, never mind, we did read that. You said EA, and I'm thinking it was somebody else.
Yeah, I don't know why I said EA.
Because he founded EA.
Oh, okay, that's... My brain was doing a little stutter there. All right, did we talk about Jagex shutting down 8 realms?
No, we did not. Please do.
All right, well, let me do that one. See people live on air every day. I'm not always for sure, especially when I do this, the whole back and forth thing. I'm not always for sure what we did. All right, so Jagex shutting down 8 realms, layoffs expected. According to a games industry report, RuneScape maker Jagex Software will shut down its latest free-to-play MMO, 8 Realms, and lay off employees that can't relocate to other teams within the company. Apparently, the company will shut down the game because it only garnered 10% of the amount of players needed to make the game profitable. Ouch, that's gotta hurt. The public got its first taste of the cross-platform HTML game in May of 2011, when the game went into public beta. The way in which Jagex hoped to make money was via in-game purchases, but with a less-than-expected user base, the company must have deemed profitability unattainable. The game never officially launched beyond the beta. Jagex has always been committed to creating fun and compelling games, says Jagex Daniel Clow. During the 8 Realms beta, it has become clear that the game doesn't meet our high expectations for success, and we are therefore channeling our focus on other exciting opportunities in the pipeline. No more RuneScape, okay? No more. While Jagex is attempting to relocate as many employees from the 8 Realms teams as it can, all the employees of Jagex American Studio are being evaluated, according to Games Industry. The process was allegedly being kept secret to keep recruiters from stealing staff away with job offers. Well, that's kind of shady. You know what? If you're going to shut down, if you know you're going to fire some of these people anyways, at least let them start planning. I mean, seriously, with this economy, you don't want to be like 38 Studios.
Oh, we had to go there with 38 Studios. They are the new cautionary tale now.
Exactly. Exacular. Yeah, I totally stole your word.
No, you're saying it different than me, so that one's your version. Mine is Exacular. See?
Exacular.
No, you Exacular. You stay with your
Exacular. Jar.
Exacular. Stay on your side.
But the grass is greener on your side. Mm-mm.
There is no grass on my side, just rocks and dirt. Okay.
See, I don't have to mow over there.
That's exactly why there's rocks and dirt. I don't want to mow either. I did tell you that my lawn is half mowed. Well, yeah, yeah.
You told me something about that the lawnmower wasn't working correctly, so.
That damn lawnmower kept stalling out. So half my lawn is gorgeous. And I don't mean half as in, like, you know, you can draw a line. It's like a circle around. You know, you're supposed to mow in a continuous motion. Mm-hmm. So there's, like, in the middle of my lawn, just high grass. And then around it, it's very nice and neat and pretty where I, you know, before it stopped. Freaking lawnmower. Anyway, one author is very upset with Ubisoft this morning. Yeah. Actually, he's been upset with them for a while. He sued them. Mr. John L. Beiswinger, the author of a novel called Link, has put his legal action against Ubisoft on hold after settling similar claims with game trailers out of court. But I might be saying your name is on me, but your name. Woo, wow, I can't get that all out. Saying his name wrong, Beiswinger was suing both entities over perceived similarities between Link and Assassin's Creed. Yeah, his books were a series as well. Ubisoft was under legal scrutiny as the series creators were. Who wrote this? Whilst Beiswinger was pursuing game trailers over a series of related videos. 11 charges of copyright infringement were raised in total, but Beiswinger has now decided to refocus on unrelated business matters and has dismissed the case against Ubisoft in such a way that he will be able to reinstate it if he should see fit. He is unwavering in his belief that the many key components of the Assassin's Creed video game franchise infringe on many key components of the novel Link. This is read from a statement read by his legal counsel. Terms of his agreement with game trailers were not revealed. Ooh, now I want to see what this Link novel is about.
I know, right?
I'm curious. I'm gonna have to look that up. Because y'all know I love me some Assassin's Creed. Like, nobody's business. Oh.
That could be interesting. I want to see what that turns out to be.
I like that he left it open. They must have thrown him a little cash and said, "Can you keep quiet?" "Sure, I'll keep quiet for a while. Go ahead and toss me $2 million. I'll be quiet for a couple of years."
But just a couple of years. Not too many.
Better yet, you should have offered him a job as a writer. If you stole his stuff, just go ahead and offer him. I need a $2 million sign-on bonus, and then I need to get about $1 million each year and residuals off of the game, and then you can hire me on. I will write the rest of this for you since you already have my story.
Yes. Mm. That is kind of interesting.
Mm, quite.
All right. What have we got this time? There's all kinds of different stuff going on.
Oh, do tell us. Tell us.
Just all over. All right. Did we talk about the THQ stock split? No? Yes? No?
I believe we did.
Did we? All right. Because some of this, I swear the news stories got mixed up because some of these do look familiar. Well, Gamers presents comics for kids at E3 2012. Mm. Uh-huh. Game-related charity Get Well Gamers announced that it will put on a charity during E3 Expo Week in Los Angeles, with the proceeds going towards its continued good works of bringing video game-related goodness to sick children. The event, Comics for Kids, will feature L.A. comedians Rob Silva, Richard Villa, sorry people, been living in Texas too long, two L's means Y to me, Richard Villa, Sebastian Satina, and Brett Riley, doing their best to make you laugh for one night. A portion of all money from food and drinks will go towards Get Well Gamers, and the purchase of a $5 raffle ticket will give one lucky winner some cool prizes, funds that will also go to Get Well Gamers. The event will take place Tuesday, June 5th at 7 p.m. at the Suede Bar and Lounge in the Westin Bonaventure Hotel, downtown L.A. In Los Angeles. You can RSVP for the event by visiting a Facebook page, which is, oh my God, really long numbers. I'm not going to give that to you. If you want it, you can go over to gamepolitics.com and check it out. Yes, and seriously, again, we've said this a couple of times. I'm going to say this again. We do not need a special date or event to donate to these funds, to these people. Help them out. This is a very awesome charity, Get Well Gamers.
Yes, so there's a ton of good charities.
Yes, if you want to see them, if you don't want to, you know, worry about the comedian thing, getwellgamers.org.
Hmm.
Yes.
And I say, Okay. Oh, wow. I got lots of pins last night.
Yeah? From?
You, there's a ton of people. Some people I don't know.
Oh, well, pins. I was like, what are you
talking about? Yeah, P-I-N-S. See, if Mitt and Romney had been here, it would have been spelled wrong. that was mean. Wasn't that mean?
That was totally mean. You were so cold. You were so cold.
Did it hurt?
When you fell from heaven.
Oh, I'm hungry. Okay.
Oh, is somebody linking food?
Yeah. That and I'm just hungry. Why am I so hungry? Like, I haven't eaten. I may not have. Y'all know how I roll. All right. So, you guys have heard.
A little bit earlier than usual, so you might not have.
I think I ate something. It's just I don't eat very much. I don't eat until I'm actually hungry, and I'm actually hungry.
My apple, y'all kind of got me in the middle of my apple.
Uh-oh. So you bite on that while I tell them about what's going on at Bethesda Softworks. They've announced that Doom 3 BFG Edition will be available this fall, and it features Doom 3 and the Resurrection of Evil. This is an add-on pack, both of which have been completely remastered. The package also includes hours of new content, 7 new levels entitled The Lost Mission, Doom 3 BFG Edition. You know what? I'm going to need y'all to shorten the title. It's slated for release on the Xbox 360 system, PC, and PlayStation, marking the first time any Doom game has appeared on the PlayStation 3. Was it on the Xbox before or something?
I don't know.
Was it on anything other than PC? Because I don't remember it being on any other consoles before. I could be wrong. A remaster for the Xbox and the PlayStation 3, this genre-defining game and its expansion pack offers greatly enhanced graphics, deeply immersing the player in the demonic world of this terrifying horror masterpiece. That's right. Players will also experience a never-before-seen single-player story, The Lost Mission, featuring 7 heart-pounding levels. Ooh. Stay with me, voice, that will once again have them on the edge of their seats. Doom 3 Resurrection of Evil and The Lost Mission have been optimized in 3D, featuring 5.1 surround sound, Xbox achievements, PlayStation 3 trophies, improved rendering and lighting, and a new checkpoint save system allowing for smoother progression through the game. Id Software has fine-tuned the controls to bring the intensity of the Doom single and multiplayer experience to consoles, and Doom 3 now features the new armor-mounted flashlight, allowing players to illuminate dark corners and blast enemies at the same time. Also, as a special bonus, Doom 3 BFG Edition will also include the original Doom and Doom 2 games, making it the definitive collection of the revolutionary games that have been developed by Id Software, studio that pioneered the first-person shooter genre. The game has not yet been rated by the ESRB, but you can go over to their page on Facebook.com/Doom, and check out what's going on. I think I will give them a follow. Hello there, Doomites. Doomians? What do we call them, Ginger? Doomites.
Mm-hmm. Doomites. All right. So, sorry, I still had a mouthful of apple.
Oh, really? Is that what you call it nowadays?
Yeah, baby. All right, so. Wow. And now I lost the story. All right, Houston, we have a problem.
We have a problem. You know what? I'm done talking.
Out of this world, Puzzler takes one giant leap onto smartphones and tablets. All right, so Square Enix today announces Solarola, the award-winning physics-based puzzle platformer, and it's coming to an iOS and Android near you. Solarola for smartphones and tablets has been fully redeveloped to offer players brand-new cartoon-style graphics and storyline and an enjoyable intuitive touch and tilt-based control system. Originally launched on Java in 2007, Solarola is one of only a handful of games to secure a perfect 10 score and platinum award from Pocket Gamer. Solarola stars Wiz and Waz, a game's blob-like gung-ho duo, tasked with bouncing across a number of planets with the ultimate aim of saving the galaxy. Using whatever comes to hand, the daring pair must thwart the plans of the nemesis, Ping the Unmerciless, and release the four guardians of Solarola's universe. With each planet inhabited by all manner of enemies and hazards, the player must navigate Wiz and Waz across a number of ill-positioned obstacles, including rocks, slime, bombs, and trampolines. Both are susceptible to the planet's gravity, so items must be strategically placed to guide them past the many obstructions and creatures that patrol the environment. As the game progresses, so the creatures get more aggressive, while the addition of volcanic worlds and razor-sharp hazards are a constant threat to the future of blobkind. All right, so, yeah, I've got that up on GameMatrix.com this morning. Head over and check it out. Houston, we have a blob-lum.
Oh, they love using our name when they say that. That's what we're famous for.
I know, right?
You know, I had someone ask me the other day, do you guys ride the... Oh, one guy says, so how are the horses? How do you get... Well, horses? What horses?
Really? Who asked you? Who is... Oh, my God.
I said, I have only seen a horse close up twice in my life. And I think I've ridden one once.
I will admit, I was riding horses before I could walk.
Yeah, but you live in a smaller town.
I did. I lived in a smaller town. I've not been on one since high school, so that's been a number of years that I'm not going to mention.
And with Dallas coming back on the air, I'm getting a lot more of that. Oh!
Dallas coming back?
Yeah.
Who killed JR?
JR is not dead.
What?
He is not dead. Yeah, I do love the fact that... I don't know if Larry Hagman, and that's the guy that played JR. Some of you probably don't remember that. I love the fact that he has picked up on the whole Texas accent. I don't know if he's actually from here, but Texas men, especially the older ones, call all women darling. And they say it in such a way where it's not condescending. It's kind of sexy.
Yes. Yeah, how do we say this?
Yeah. You should be offended, but you're just really not.
Call me darling all day long.
Yes, and he said that in the... I saw the commercial last night, and he said that. I went, oh, man, you're an old guy, but you still got it.
I
need to sit in your lap. That is so hot. Oh, I remember what it was. He was saying, somebody pulled a gun on him, and he says, guns don't have much effect on me, darling. And I was like,
That is so hot.
I'm so watching that. I don't remember. I just remember being forced to watch it when I was little.
Yeah, pretty much.
Yeah, there was no internet back then, so you guys have to remember, we were forced to watch a lot of things. There's no
it would come on, and the adults would sit down in their chairs, and I would be told, all right, go get me an RC Cola.
Oh, my God. Did you say RC? Oh.
RC Cola. Anybody? I know most of y'all are like, what the hell's an RC Cola? It's like a Pepsi, but it's generic.
But it was really big here back in the day.
Yes, it was really big.
You made my head hurt when you said that just then, Ginger.
I know, it was RC Cola and, I kid you not, Moon Pies.
Oh, my God. I did not like those things, but I thought it was...
I hate those things. Those things are the most disgusting
things on earth, and some people would love to eat them. I don't get it. All right, well, I do need to tell you about this. If you're planning on going out to E3, shame on you. But but while you're there, you might as well catch concert, right? Well, Video Games Live is going to continue their tradition along with the 8-year tradition that E3 has going of pulling out all the stops by announcing a cavalcade of special guests, first-time ever music premieres, industry stars, new interactive technology, and incredible prizes, of course. This is Video Games Live. Yeah, the performance will take place on Wednesday, June the 6th at the Nokia Theater, positioned directly across the street from E3. Aside from fan favorites such as Castlevania, Halo, Sonic, and Chrono Trigger, Chrono Cross, audience members will be treated to new live premieres from such titles as the award-winning Elder Scrolls Skyrim and the 90s cult classic Earthworm Jim. Oh my God, I love that game back in the day. The Billboard and iTunes chart-topping music from Journey, as well as Blizzard Entertainment's Diablo 3 and upcoming World of Warcraft Mists of Pandaria. The original composers will be making appearances and performing on stage with over 110 musicians. Video Games Live will be celebrating the 25th anniversary of Street Fighter with its hard-rocking symphonic Street Fighter 2 medley, including special guest appearances. To celebrate the recent induction into the Classic FM Hall of Fame at number 16 of all time, that's right, Nobu Uematsu's Eretz theme will be presented in a new exclusive Symphonic Video Games Live arrangement. The newly created Pokemon Symphonic Suite will be making its Los Angeles debut as well, and some very special guest performance for the award-winning Pokemon Symphonic Suite will be making its Los Angeles debut as well. Did I already say that? As well as some very special guests.
Like you did, but yeah. I'm not
certain. I think I scrolled and I went back to the same line, trying to be cool. There's also going to be doing a medley of Still Alive from Portal. Original Toto founder, songwriter, pianist, Vocal Paich. I may be saying your name wrong, I'm sorry. And a couple of his friends will be joining the symphony and choir to perform Hold the Line alongside the winner of the pre-show Guitar Hero competition. A variety of YouTube superstars will also be performing, including America's Got Talent's finalist and internet sensation Lindsay Sterling, known for her amazing cinematic music videos viewed by millions of tens of people. I'm sorry, tens of millions of people online, which included her top featured Legend of Zelda medley. Video Games Live favorite Martin Leung, guest the video game pianist, will once again grace the stage to debut his new piano arrangement of classic Rare Software favorites such as Banjo-Kazooie and Donkey Kong Country. Laura Flutlink Intravia will also be showcasing her vocal talent, as well as performing her 25th anniversary Zelda arrangement. And I have heard that woman sing, and I got to shake her hand. I just chills when she said, not only because it was Zelda, but because she has an amazing voice. She'll be singing with the symphony while they do a Mario flute medley. There'll also be heavy metal guitarist Viking Jesus will invade the stage and conquer the audience with the world premiere of his pedal to the metal rendition of Star Fox. There'll also be some other game industry legends from around the world appearing on the stage and in the post-show meet and greet, free of all charge to ticket holders, including Takahashi Izuku, who's a producer and director, designer, and head of the Sonic team. And I may be saying your name wrong, sorry. You'll also get to meet the original Earthworm Jim team, Blizzard Entertainment audio director and composer Russell Brower, Grammy Award-winning game composer Christopher Ten, who's the Silent Hill game producer and composer. Producer and composer Akira Yamaoka, and Atari founder Nolan Bushnell, Monkey Island creators Tim Schafer and Ron Gilbert, legendary game designer Warren Spector. He needs some lap time. He did some Wing Commander, Deus Ex, Disney Epic Mickey, and over 20 other game industry superstars, including Al Lowe and Leisure Suit Larry and King's Quest fame, performing the theme from Leisure Suit Larry on the saxophone. Wow. You can find the rest of the story and who else is going to be there up on our site, GameAtrix.com. They do give away some great prizes. I will tell you this much. They're giving away from Samsung and AMD and Intel laptops, hard drives, media devices, software, and such. So you definitely want to be able to get go. Any ticket holder is able to enter. And, of course, they do have a pre-show costume contest.
That sounds like fun.
It's adorable. I think I have some pictures I still never shared with you all from the first Video Games Live we went to. There's this little boy dressed as Mario, and he was perfect. Little cute little thing. Oh, he has a mustache and everything. Oh, he was adorable. In case you are wanting to get a ticket, you're going to be out in L.A. or you live out that direction, tickets are now on sale. They range from $25 to $75, and there is a limited number of Ultra VIP backstage experience packages. You can go to your local Ticketmaster site to get to get the tickets. Even if you're not a VIP, you will enjoy. There is nothing like hearing your favorite video game music played by a live orchestra. It is akin to getting to go to PAX for the first time. It is like going to Mecca. You will get up and scream. Yeah, try and stop me. I'm up screaming the whole time. Oh, my God.
Yay!
You've never gone, you must go. And I'm sure they're going to go on tour during the summer. So if you don't catch them at E3, you can probably catch them somewhere near you during the summer. Awesome.
Yes.
Awesome.
All right. Oh,
oh God.
What's going on?
Horace says, wait, let me get me a tab. Go get me a tab. Yeah, we had some of those in the house. Those are disgusting. Tabs were disgusting sodas. Did you like those?
Tabs?
Yeah, you don't remember Tab?
No. Oh, wait. I have a record.
Yeah, you're trying to pull it up in your memory.
Is that the orange ones?
I think they did have. Oh, you know what? I think I'm getting two people mixed up. I'm thinking of Shasta. What happened to all those sodas? Does anybody remember Shasta?
I don't know. I remember Shasta, I think. That was the pink one, right?
Tab was the one everybody was drinking when they were dieting in the 80s, if I remember correctly.
I was a baby.
I was little, but I remember my mom saying, watching the 20-minute workout, and she had to have her Tab because it was low in calories. They were disgusting.
No, I didn't drink those, I don't think.
I didn't want to drink them, but I was forced to. There was nothing else to drink. You were a kid, you wanted soda, there was Tab, that's what you drank. What else
RC
was it?
RC Cola, baby. RC Cola.
I remember. They still make RC Colas. You pass too small.
They do.
And Big Red, oh, man.
Seriously, all right. And if y'all ever come to Texas and you want to try a soda, you're not going to find, I don't think, anywhere else. I think it's only here in Texas.
Mm-hmm.
There's a little town called Dublin. They have the original Dr. Pepper plant. They make Dr. Pepper with sugar cane sugar.
Oh, God,
pure
yes.
Sugar cane
yes.
Sugar.
Yes.
So
yes.
Amazing.
Yes.
I mean, you've got these knockoffs that say, we have sugar cane sugar. No.
No.
No, no, no. If it doesn't say Dublin Dr. Pepper on the side, it's not Dublin Dr. Pepper.
Oh, wait. Aura sent you a picture. Let me go ahead and paste
that
for you.
So good.
When you see the can, maybe it'll jog your memory.
I used to be a picture. I'm so loved. Oh, my God.
Do you remember?
Now I do. And I still don't think I ever drunk that.
God, you never did.
I don't think I drank that. I'm sorry. We're talking about Texas and back when. And, yeah, my accent's coming out like, whoa. And y'all have no idea. I work so hard to not speak that way.
Yes. Yes, ma'am. Oh, is it be my turn or it be your turn? It's your turn, isn't it?
It'd be my turn.
Barf.
All right. Catch the uncatchable. Cocky Roach. All right. I'm going to kill myself on these names. Shirin Hakobayan has announced the release and worldwide availability of Cocky Roach, his new fast-paced game for iPhone and iPod Touch. With simple rules, intuitive touch controls, and dynamic gameplay, Cocky Roach is the title that would appeal to the pickup and play gamers of the iOS world. The game both entertains the test user's quickness and accuracy. The player's mission is to catch speedy bugs at one tap, as the screen is extremely fragile. To succeed, Cocky Roach players should avoid accidental and unnecessary dabs, as frivolous tapping is penalized and the screen solidity drops dramatically with every touch. Cocky Roach features 40 levels of fun accompanied by uplifting musical scores. Users should apply all their cunning and show quick reaction to stop huge bugs that crack the screen under their weight. What makes this game even more exciting is a number of power-ups for both players and insects. Little hearts that randomly appear on the screen multiply bugs, making users' missions twice as hard, while in time collected gold stars help to improve users' statistics. All right, so Cocky Roach is an extremely buoyant game to play that will keep you on your toes up to the last level. Those cute bugs that move across the screen at an alarming rate are absolutely unpredictable in their actions. You never know where they will be in the next second and what happens next. Awesome. Okay, so I am posting this on GameAndMatrix.com right now. Give me just a moment or two, and you can check it out for yourself. Oh, yes. Yes, yes.
All right. Apparently, there's some leaks. There's some leaks in the window.
Oh.
Yeah, somebody has leaked the new screenshots from Windows 8.
Ooh, really?
Yeah. Say again?
Said I may want to see those.
You may want to see those. According to our homie Slices over at the VentureBeat, the Chinese version of Microsoft's upcoming Windows 8 release have been leaked online, with ISO files for the new operating systems being traded across plenty of international forums, according to PC Beta as well. I'm pasting Ginger this link so she can take a look. It's actually pretty. It's kind of neat. Microsoft 8 is part of Microsoft's strategy to integrate personal computers with tablets and other mobile devices, much in the way Apple has done with its what is my phone? Why is my phone crowing? Oh, I forgot to turn that off. Okay, so anyway, much as Apple has done with its Apple operating system and its iOS mobile devices, the leaked Chinese version of the release preview shows that Microsoft has updated the boot screens, cursors, wallpaper, added an Arrow UI theme variation. You see it now, Ginger? And support for the multiple monitors on the desktop. According to a report by Win8 China, you'll have to use Google Translate to view it. The release preview also contains Metro-style Windows 8 apps like sports, finance, travel, and news. Microsoft has also indicated that the official release preview versions of the operating system will become available during the first week in June, meaning basically this week. Yeah. The company hasn't given the public a date for when the full version of Windows 8 will debut, but some reports say the full launch is targeted for sometime in October of this year. And I would say, though it looks pretty, if it's just on the tablets, then okay. But if they want to actually, you know, it goes on the PC, I say don't do it, because, you know, we just got our good version of Windows, which is 7. It's always the other numbers do not work. I don't know why. Oh, God, do I need to bring your attention to Vista and ME and, yeah, Windows 2000? Yeah, don't do it. Mm-hmm. Wait. Wait till Windows 9, then you'll get your good one. It'll be pretty like this, and it'll work. It won't crash.
Whew. All right. So we've been saying we needed something like this.
Uh-oh.
I'm not for sure about these people doing it, but hey, FCC forms Open Internet Advisory Committee. The Federal Communications Commission, the FCC, has formed an Open Internet Committee to evaluate the agency's net neutrality rules. The committee was part of the rules that the FCC passed in late 2010 and later implemented in 2011. The Open Internet Advisory Committee will be led by Jonathan Zittrain, co-founder of the Berman Center for Internet and Society at Harvard. He is also a respected professor of law and computer sciences. The advisory committee will feature Charles Slocum, assistant executive director of the WGAW, Neil Hunt, chief product officer of Netflix, Kevin McIlerney, Senior VP for Network Engineering at Comcast, and Elaine Paul, Senior VP of Strategic Planning at Disney. Hopefully this committee will take a close look at the process of traffic manipulation and broadband caps. No doubt Netflix will want to tackle both of these burning issues. I pulled that from Game Politics, by the way, people, if you want to check that out. All right, so that one was a short one. Can I do another one?
Please do, darling.
Naughty, 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 we got you. Some Microsoft employees enjoy illicit file sharing.
Oh.
Yeah, whatever side of the issue you are on, it is never a good thing when a company that is seen as a major rights holder rails against piracy and file sharing and then gets called out for piracy and file sharing. Using the site youhavedownloaded.com, TorrentFreak has once again caught the employees of a major corporation engaging in the very thing that it publicly rails against and pays millions of dollars to fight. The company in question is Microsoft, whose employees were found to be downloading everything from porn movies and blockbuster Hollywood films to motivational ebooks. Example of items popular, with the Microsoft employees included the films The Debt, Border Town, and Blind, the adult film Rocco Psycho Love, and ebooks such as 100 Great Painters and Cross Train Your Brain, a mental fitness program for maximizing creativity and achieving success. Of course, past investigations using the site's collected data revealed similar shenanigans at a number of other organizations. And governments, including the Palace of the French President, the Church of God, the RIAA, and the U.S. House of Representatives.
Ooh,
naughty, naughty! We got you.
Hey, that's it the first time.
Yeah.
That's what I'm like. That's not the first time. Why? Well, we all know why they're doing it. Okay, because some employees are not realizing they're being watched, even though they work at Microsoft. They don't realize that.
Work at Microsoft. You know your stuff is being tracked, people. You know this.
It's just not smart. Well, here's some interesting news. Leisure Suit Larry creator Al Lowe and his company Replay Games say they plan to sue Wisecrack Games today to shut down its $500,000 Kickstarter crowdfunding project because it infringes on their copyright and misrepresents Lowe's participation in the project. Ooh, according to VentureBeat, Chicago-based Wisecrack Games just started a project to raise $500,000 to create Sam Suede in Undercover Exposure. The game is a comic adventure for the 21st century, like Leisure Suit Larry. It's a sex farce. Good God, I'm going to butcher this name. Wegrizen describes the game.
Did you just call that a sex farce?
Yes. Ken, I'm just going to say your first name. Ken describes the game as a new one based on the original design that he suggested to Al Lowe years ago. Ken and Lowe worked on the Sam Suede game about 7 years ago. The idea is to take a new chapter on a new chapter, Sam Suede, who is an amateur detective who navigates the law, investigating suspects, criminals, and the ladies. The game pitch shows Lowe's picture several times as it mentions his work on the title, and it also shows him as one of the partners working on the project alongside Ken and Steve Ince. But Lowe and Trow, who successfully raised more than $600,000 on Kickstarter to make the nostalgia game Leisure Suit Larry Reloaded, say that Lowe is not working on the project, and they have misrepresented him and used his image without permission. All mention of the Leisure Suit Larry on Kickstarter page was also done without permission, Trow said. He wants the Kickstarter campaign shut down. Shut it down. Says, I think the blatant misuse of the Leisure Suit Larry name and copyrighted materials shows clear disregard for copyright law. He said, to piggyback on someone else's success is not only rude, but also illegal. Those who continue with this will be pursued to the fullest extent of the law. We are suing today. Complicating this case is the fact that Lowe did work on the game years ago, but when the team shifted to making a higher resolution game on the 360 and PS3, they couldn't raise the money to do it. Lowe left to work on his own title with Replay Games. Trow said he plans to file a lawsuit in Austin, Texas today.
Austin, Texas, baby.
Mm-hmm. This is going to be juicy.
It's going to be good. This is going to be really, really, really
You know, I'd let them make the game, and I'd say, you know what? I won't sue you if you give me some residuals. You all are not handling this right. Go ahead and kick me down a few dollars, and then I will gladly let you continue on with the game, but you know, I need 10% of the residuals, and we'll call it a day.
Yes. At least you would think. You would think it would work that way, but apparently not. Mm-hmm. All right. So, what have we got? We have got all kinds of fun fights going on. Did we talk about Michael Pachter and his talk on DLC?
Sounds familiar, but I'm not sure. DLC about what?
On disc DLC.
Oh?
All right. So, according to Wedbush Morgan Analysis, Michael Pachter unlocking downloadable content that is already present on a retail game disc when you buy it might not be illegal. On the last, the latest edition of his Game Trailers TV show, I'm not going to talk about that. He says, yes, it's just plain greed, he said. The answer is that simple. I think that DLC has been so successful that publishers are trying to get a jump start, and if you put it on the disc, it allows them to unlock it when they feel like it.
Mm-hmm.
Some guys might get it right. Some guys take a long time to get it out. Putting it on the disc allows the publisher to determine the optimal moment to launch it. All DLC is great. Games are getting shorter. DLC is getting people engaged. It's a great profit deal. I don't think it makes much difference how it is delivered. On whether it is illegal to unlock content on the disc that you technically have already paid for, Pachter says it may not be illegal. The stuff on the disc, some gamers feel entitled to because they bought the disc, so they should have a right to anything that's on the disc. And that's a dicey one. You actually do own the disc, I think, theoretically. If you could crack the code on the DLC, you probably would be allowed to access it without paying, and I'm not even sure that's stealing because you did, in fact, buy the disc. That's about as close as you can get to legal piracy. Ultimately, Pachter thinks that the practice on disc DLC is on its way out. Capcom, one of the companies that have taken the most heat publicly for using this method of delivery, recently said that it would reevaluate the way it handles DLC.
I always thought that was kind of crazy too. I bought the disc; it's on there. Short
of, I have it.
Yeah, as long as I'm not selling it, then how is it illegal to unlock something else that I already have? Most people are not even giving it away. Hello? Uh-oh. Did you? Oh, you went down for a second.
I'm sorry. No, I was here. I was coughing. Coughing.
You cannot do that.
I know. But Yeah, this weather is killing me. I mean, seriously, last night I was afraid it was actually going to kill me.
Who was going to kill you? Who? What?
I said I was actually afraid last night that the weather might really kill me.
Oh, yeah, you had funnel clouds last night.
Yeah, we have funnel clouds going over the house. I was like, that's not fun.
All right, you steam people will be happy to hear this. Worms Reloaded has a free-to-play weekend coming up on Steam. The award-winning publisher Team 17 is offering Steam users the opportunity to demonstrate their destructive multiplayer worm skills for free. Yay! Worms Reloaded will be available as a free-to-play download via Steam starting on Thursday, May the 31st. That's tomorrow. At 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. That'll be late in the day for the rest of us through Sunday. See, the page scrolled on its own. I hate when it does that.
Yeah, that does tend to suck when it does that.
It'll be through Sunday, June the 3rd at 1 p.m. Pacific Standard Time. This special multiplayer-only version of the game will allow veterans and newcomers to experience firsthand the madcap world of Worms and pit their skills against both their closest friends and deadliest enemies. What's more, players that catch the Worms Reloaded bug, or those that already got it, or already have that particular itch, can benefit from a whopping 60% off of all Worms Reloaded content, be it full game or
worms.
The DLC packs.
Worms. You've got worms.
You got worms, too. This
that
outstanding
doesn't sound like fun.
It doesn't. This outstanding offer will, of course, run from Thursday the 31st at 10 a.m. through Monday, June 4th at 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. The full Worms Reloaded catalog includes Worms Reloaded with over 60 single-player missions, a fully featured landscape creator, 45-plus weapons spanning the entire Worms series, and a huge currency-based customization system, all wrapped up in HD quality visuals. The Worms Reloaded puzzle pack featuring 20 mind-boggling single-player missions designed to test even the most cunning Worms players. It also includes the Worms Reloaded Forts pack, featuring 20 addictive and challenging single-player levels based on a variety of fort-based mission objectives. The Worms Reloaded Time Attack pack, featuring 20 new heart-pounding single-player race missions designed to test players' rope and jetpack skills to the limit. The Worms Reloaded Retro pack, featuring 15 single-player missions that have been handpicked from the classic Worms Armageddon game and reworked exclusively for this downloadable content pack. You also have the Worms Reloaded Forts and Hack pack. Has 10 different forts and 6 hacks that were originally only available with the pre-order of Worms Reloaded, and the Worms Reloaded Game of the Year edition, featuring all of the above, plus the official digital soundtrack you can download and rock in your car. You can, again, start this on Steam tomorrow, 10 a.m. Pacific Standard Time. I have no idea what time that is for us. We'll be, 12? 1? So you can
something
play.
Like that, yeah.
You can play and listen to us at the same time. Whoop!
Yay! We like it when you listen to us. Yes, we do.
This looks like, I think this is a UK game, maybe? Oh, yeah, he's holding a UK flag. He's a UK worm. That's why we've not heard of this one. I was like, where did we miss?
Yeah, well, I've heard of it. A friend of mine was trying to get me to play it, but...
Oh, I wonder what it's about.
I don't know, but apparently it's quite hilarious, so... Yeah. All right, so the golden age of aerial combat goes digital as City Interactive announces Dogfight 1942.
Uh-oh.
Uh-huh. City Interactive today. I can talk. I swear I can. City Interactive today announced their new arcade aerial combat game, Dogfight 1942. Entering the digital space with content and quality traditionally expected of a console title, Dogfight 1942 will launch on Microsoft Xbox Live Arcade, Sony PlayStation Network, and Steam later this year. Dogfight 1942 is the most accessible air combat game ever to be released on these platforms. The game controls are incredibly intuitive, reducing the need for lengthy tutorials and making it fun for any type of gamer, at the same time remaining challenging enough for hardcore flight game fans. Previously announced as Combat Wings, Dogfight 1942 has been re-envisioned and recreated to feature more than 20 types of aircraft, from the fabled P-38 Lightning and Britain's Spitfire to the feared Messerschmitt 109 and Japanese Kate. Players are challenged with the same missions as real World War II pilots, ranging from bombing runs and dogfights to manning defensive positions such as gunner on a bomber or anti-aircraft sights. Lucas Hakura adds that what's really unique about Dogfight 1942 is the fact that the game will be digitally priced a level that is typical for digital games, but with production values of a full price retail release. All right, so this is kind of cool. Looks like they're going to be showing it at E3. Yeah, so if you want to check out more about this, head over to GameNatrix.com this morning. I have it up for you.
Hmm. Mm-hmm. I might like to see that.
Maybe.
She said maybe. Okay. Mm, there's something going on. There's something about FIFA 12, but we're not going to share that with you because FIFA...
No more FIFA.
FIFA has taken over the world.
Yes. Yes, it has. Oh, my God.
In short order.
Mm-hmm.
Okay. Mm. That's
okay.
I'm got interesting stuff going on. I'm like, mm.
Okay.
Mm. Mm. Okay. Well, Zynga.
Zynga.
Wow. Zynga's stock is locked up pretty much. Okay, according to Zynga had a lockup period, which is going to prevent or has prevented employees from selling their stock following the initial public offering. This lockup has expired today. That may explain why a smaller company, Game Closure, has been able to recruit a prominent mobile gaming expert from Zynga. Game Closure announced today that it has hired Laurent Desager, former chief technology officer of Zynga Mobile, as Game Closure's new vice president of mobile engineering. Game Closure is making an HTML5-based cross-platform game technology. Meanwhile, Zynga's stock continues to drop, falling to $6.15 a share, down 7% in trading this morning. Zynga went public at $10 a share back in December, and its stock rose to a high of $15.91 a share after speculation that the company could benefit from legal changes to online gambling. But following Facebook's botched IPO, Zynga's shares have steadily fallen, and today employees will be able to sell off an estimated 325 million shares. Desager will lead all of the mobile initiatives related to the company's game engine. He says, "I vote with my feet. After firsthand experience with the Game Closure software development kit and the people behind it, I knew I had to be involved in the growth and refinement of the team and technology," he says. He says, "I believe these tools are essential to build beautiful, frictionless social games which can compete in today's market." Game Closure was founded 15 months ago, currently has 30 employees. The company's JavaScript game SDK lets developers distribute video games across multiple platforms, iOS, Android, and web browsers. That allows developers to create a game once and run it across various platforms. Remember, we heard about that. We thought it was awesome. On the first half of the year, Mountain View, California-based Game Closure has received applications from more than 5,000 studios, and its daily user data produced by partner games has grown 1,000-fold. Game Closure is run by 27-year-old Michael Carter. Ladies, get on it.
Mm-hmm.
The company says it has received multiple acquisition offers and presumably turned them all down, including the one from Zynga. Game Closure managed to raise $12 million from Highland Capital, Greylock Partners, Charles River Ventures, Benchmark Capital, General Catalyst Partners, SV Angel, Yuri Milner, and Joy Ito, and it launched via StartX, Stanford University Student Startup Accelerator, before joining Zynga. I'm trying to skip on down because we're getting short on time. Before joining Zynga, Designor was Chief Technology Officer of Big Fish Games. One of our alum worked for Big Fish Games.
Awesome.
Hey. Hello, Zach. Zynga, Designor was involved in mobile technology and strategy as well as mergers and acquisitions. So he might know what him doing. He might just know.
He might.
At least he got out because that boat looks like it's sinking.
Yes, get off the boat when the water starts coming in, okay, people?
I just don't. I'm not for some of these smaller game companies trying to go public. You need, at least need to be around 10 years before you start
yes.
doing stuff like that.
Yes, very much so.
You don't, even anybody who watches stocks, some people who don't, knows that you have to be able to see the trends for years and see how things are going to go first. And then you offer because you kind of have a gauge of, you know, it's going to be up at this time down. At a year or two old,
yeah, that's not very cute.
All right, it is about that time that we cut out and leave you wanting. Mm-hmm.
Yes, yes, it is.
But you all know where to find us, right?
GameNatrix.com, Twitter, Facebook, Pinterest now, Flickr, Skype if you know us. Several places. We're all over. Google Plus. Did I mention Google Plus? Oh, yeah, we also have MySpace if you're still back in 1990.
Yes, we do. If nobody has decided to take over our MySpace, that is, because,
yeah.
You know, I haven't looked over there in ages.
Yeah.
All right. We'll see you guys bright and early tomorrow. And remember, you get us twice tomorrow.
Yay!
Later, peoples.
girl.